FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hola! What's going on? Gus Kattengill, Jordan Kleber in front of me, and just to my right, the 1 o'clock position, Miss Maddie Hudak. Maddie, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Oh, I didn't have your mic on.
Ooh. Well, now I'm not fabulous.
Yeah. My bad. Sorry.
It is a beautiful day, though.
It is beautiful. It's not storming just yet.
And it's not scorching either, which one would expect. I mean, it's mid-July.
It's humid. It's
yes,
hot.
But comparatively.
I know. See, the reason I'm kind of, I have to cut the grass at some point. It has to happen.
Better do it today.
I've been unable to
do it. Is your grass like an invasive species? It seems like you cut your grass out of.
Yeah, well, as I explained to you when you brought this up a couple weeks ago, it is New Orleans. It's South Louisiana. Your grass, at this point, you could cut it twice a week. But you absolutely better do it once a week. If not, it's.
But it seems like you're doing it every other day.
It just seems that way. Jordan's shaking his head, even though he's never cut grass in his life. He understands the plight. He understands the plight, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you come cut my grass today?
No.
Since you've never done it.
Rather not. I have to take care of the puppy today because he has been.
What happened to you this morning?
I don't want to disrupt anyone eating. There's just a lot of unpleasant things coming out of his body today.
From both sides.
Yeah. All over the house. So I've had to pick that up.
Well, based off of what your dad did yesterday, because he went the route of the tri-tip as well, which you kept giving me food updates, apparently.
Oh, it took him forever. It took him forever to make the
food.
What
an ungrateful. He's complaining that the food's not ready yet.
Yeah, it was like 8:30. I was like, where is it at?
Where's dinner?
It's called hanger.
Where's dinner? I'm like,
hangry.
Go crack one open. It'll keep you full. But in all sincerity, the only time I've ever kind of gone through what you're referring to is I was called to duty by my neighbor across the street. And this was after a crawfish boil. And the Golden Lab apparently got a hold of either a garlic, right? You know, like a big old ball of garlic or an onion. And what I've been told is either or, specifically the garlic, will result in an unpleasant day. To come.
I think it was the food, though, because he's been having this problem for the past couple days.
Oh, see, you failed to mention that, you see? You only gave me one bit of the story. Well, then it probably could be his food. Then, yeah.
It probably is.
I'm blaming your dad for dropping food preparations and all that, but you didn't give me the full story, Jordan. Speaking of full story, Maddie, it's kind of what we try to do as journalists, show hosts, what have you, try to find out the real story or try to piece things together. And coming up in our lead next segment, we can kind of have seen this sort of coming in terms of there's a story out in The Athletic today, several different Pelicans tidbits in there, whether it's the coaching or whether it's a certain player that pops up, Lonzo Ball. We kind of could see a lot of this sort of coming and everything in trying to, I guess, piece together what this Pel's offseason is starting to look like at some point as Game 4 of the NBA Finals is tomorrow?
I mean, you can, but at the same time, it kind of remains in limbo until, you know, they move forward with presumably their next head coach, which is looking like it's
coming
to be.
It's coming.
Willie Green.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. It's coming.
That it kind of takes that necessary step for them to be able to get the rest of their offseason together.
One of the other things that is interesting, too, is we get closer and closer. We've been doing this on Tuesdays. We get, again, Maddie, we're 3 weeks away. I saw the Packers, and I only know this because, Jordan, as I sent you the photo, every single morning we're waiting for the latest on Aaron Rodgers, according to
Get Up
over on ESPN. And they start training camp on Tuesday the 27th. So it's that week. I don't have an official date yet. They haven't given it to us as to when exactly the first practice and such is. But the 27th is a Tuesday over there. I normally think in the past it's been a Wednesday, and then the first practice for the Saints is normally that Thursday. It could be a day earlier. I don't know. I do know it's that week. I have been told it's that week. So the 26th through the 30th, we will have training camp practices at some point in time. And along the lines of kind of what we're doing, what I was just referring to with the Pelicans, Matty, we've been doing this for months since the Saints lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers about what the upcoming season would be like, what it would be like post-Drew, what it'd be like with the next quarterback, what it'd be like with this defense. Then the draft came and then free agency and all. So that's kind of what we can sort of do. Are we starting to get more and more of a, I don't know, photograph, I guess, of what we think this team can be or not?
Well, I think
Or do you still think you have more questions? I have more questions than I think a lot more people.
Well, I think team as a holistic, I think we already have that photograph. Mm-hmm. The last decade, the first half of it was really, Drew Brees kind of dragging the rest of the team, kicking and screaming down the field, for lack of a better term. Then the defense started to pick up. And then in 2017, I feel like Sean has really always liked to have a good running back. And it kind of seemed like there was a dip there while Mark Ingram was kind of still figuring out how to break out. And then once he figured out how to kind of play Kamara and Ingram mm-hmm. off one another, it feels like this team has kind of completed itself to be self-perpetuating past Drew Brees to at least be competitive. So I think the chips are there for everyone else. And I actually, to me, the pressure is kind of less on the quarterback position. Right. And to me, it's a little more on the team elevating themselves and rising to the challenge to kind of rally behind whoever's under center.
It's interesting you say that, because yesterday we played a soundbite with Fletcher Mackel and Sean Payton having a little one-on-one, and he was asked about pressure with the quarterback. And just for reference sake, kind of along the lines of what you're touching on as well, let me play that and we can continue something, because I think you have an interesting point here. And then I'm going to expand here. That a lot of people are focusing on the pressure there. But you're right, because it kind of goes to my point. There's a lot of question marks on this team. I don't think it's just the quarterback position that has pressure. And I'm doing the air quotes here, but this is what Sean said about pressure for him to Fletcher about finding a quarterback.
I think there's a part of you as a coach that appreciates it, and you think about it, and there is you feel that responsibility to everyone else on the team. We feel like we've got a real good football team. Both of those guys have done a great job this offseason in what was a kind of a little unique offseason, I would say. I think there's that challenge of winning each year, and especially with our current roster, it's important you get good solid play at that position. We know that. Fortunately, we've been able to do that in the prior 2 years when Drew's been hurt. But replacing someone like Drew and the career he's had, it really falls on all of us. It falls on the coaches. It falls on the other players.
And there you go, kind of to your point, because that's why I keep saying, and you are going to hear this a lot as we get closer to training camp and through camp and as the start of the season. I view the Saints as a potential playoff team. Meaning, I think they potentially have the talent to be a playoff team. I am nowhere near saying they're a championship caliber team. I don't even know who their quarterback is. And you better have a good one if you even are sniffing or thinking about that. So I need to see that first before I can say, oh, they have a championship caliber quarterback. I keep saying potential playoff because there's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of potential, as we've gone over, whether it's running back, receivers already. We're going to go over some offensive linemen, things of that nature. But health, players playing to their ability, all of those different things is why I say potentially this team can do it. There's a lot of ifs, at least for me, there's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, no, and I think the unique offseason that he kind of brings up also has kind of permeated the last two seasons. And you're trying to think about the fact that, the two quarterbacks have been in the building since 2020. There mm-hmm. really wasn't an offseason in 2020. So both of them kind of suffered from a lack of any sort of development in those two offseasons. But he speaks to the current roster, and, I think it's a little oversimplified to just look at that, Teddy Bridgewater run and the Taysom Hill run and say that it's going to be, the exact same.
Right.
But for me, during those games, like I said, what I saw was the rest of the team stepping up on special teams, on defense, the running game, everyone kind of elevated themselves right. in Drew's absence. And I think that is something that they're going to not like hold over their shoulders, but it will be something that they're all aware of. And I think it's a disservice to either quarterback to expect them to come in and be the ones that lead this team to victory. Just, you know, the fact that there is a quarterback competition and we've, you know, brought up pros and cons and we haven't really had the chance to see those things out, but we've seen what the rest of the team can do. So as long as they are able to kind of step up and kind of rally around whoever's under center, I think that relieves a lot of that pressure.
This is Cam Jordan. He was on Good Morning Football this morning. A couple of cuts, three of them here, Maddie. I'd like everyone to hear. I thought it was very interesting, and it's like to kind of what we're touching on. He's one of the faces of a team. He's one of the leaders of this team. And quite honestly, it's one of the reasons why I keep saying potentially. If Cam Jordan can play at the highest level he can play, I think they're going to need him to sort of do that this year. But here's what he had to say about the quarterback battle first.
Man, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about who's going to put us in the best position of winning. I do know that we have a baller in Jameis Winston, a guy who can release that thing in the air. It's bombs headed Jameis's way. I mean, you know he's going to take deep shots. He's going to take a lot of deep throws. And at the same time, you know, he's had a year under Sean's tutelage and watching Drew Brees. So he's only going to get better in my mind. Then, of course, you talk about Taysom. And you know, after last year, we went 3-1 with him. So we know we can win at a high clip with him. It's going to be fun and interesting to see who ends up being the lead quarterback, if that is such a discussion. It's beyond my pay grade, and I like to say not many things are beyond my pay grade.
I love it. What do you think of what he said there?
It's the same thing that we've heard from, you know, a lot of people so far. There is the allure with Jameis Winston. There is that, you know, deep ball threat with, you know, high reward also comes high risk. Pretty much saying, again, the same thing that I think it's ultimately just going to kind of be speaking about hypotheticals until we actually
until we
see
actually
something.
See it. And that's what he's saying, too, is that I think both guys, he's seen what they're capable of. But, again, it's about being able to do it consistently, which is, again, one of the storylines we're going to focus on as camp goes along. Are you going to be allowed to be consistent? In other words, there's going to be ups and downs. Drew threw interceptions. Drew had bad drives. Or the offense did with him as quarterback, right? I mean, there were times that couldn't get first downs as well. So what's the leash, I guess, per se? Oh, how long do you go? You have to let this offense, I think, develop an identity under that starting quarterback. I think that's going to be a key. Whoever they go with, I think you got to ride half the season with them at the very least. You know, now, granted, whoever starts three straight games, they don't get a touchdown. Yes, I'm talking about barring something catastrophic. I think you have to let them go, and that may mean some losses, which is why I say 2-3 to start, I'm not panicking because I almost kind of expect that with a new quarterback. A little better than record in that, we'll see. Cam Jordan touched on what he thinks life will be like after Drew has even thought about it.
I mean, I'm not sure. Like, it's not like I'd never expected him to retire. Honestly, I just thought he was going to retire until his kids entered the league. But when you think about what he's meant to the team, what he's meant to the city for so long, it's sort of weird, to know that he's no longer going to be a part of the locker room. I guess it hasn't settled in because we haven't hit training camp yet. And I think that's where you're going to feel the biggest differences, those hot New Orleans training camps where it's 98 degrees and 100% humidity. It just rained that morning. And yet, you know, at the end of practice, you still got to go 1v1s in a 2-minute drill to put it in perspective. Like, and you still probably have condition after, and you see Drew in the backfield. That's where it's going to switch up and know that, you know, now we're cultivating a different quarterback leader. But I think we have so much established in our locker room already. I think our defensive leaders, from Malcolm Jenkins to DeMario to Marshawn to Marcus to myself, will carry the defense over. I think guys who have been growing through our offensive schemes, Traquan Smith, of course, the whole offensive line is touted. Andrews Pete, you know, young Eric McCoy at center. There's so much veteran core leadership on our team. I do think that it hurts. But I definitely think we're poised to be okay in terms of how we go about our leadership operations.
Got about 30 seconds before the break, Manny. How interesting is, of all the names that he mentioned, did you hear one that kind of
I heard two.
Mm-hmm.
And Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams were a little surprising to me.
See, mine was McCoy. I heard him mention McCoy, yeah.
See, because I saw McCoy as very much of a mentor to Ruiz this past offseason and them kind of working a lot in tandem. And that's where I saw Ruiz start to get a little bit of consistency.
Right.
But I appreciate him kind of bringing up those quieter names on defense who you would never have necessarily thought would be leaders. But Cam Jordan is someone I look to as a leader on that team. And if he is saying those types of names, then that gives you really a well-thought-out leadership throughout the entire defense.
When we come back, I got one more bite, and it's Cam Jordan on the defense, and what does he think about them? Because I do think it's interesting. I almost feel like a lot of times a lot of people speak about that side of the football with the bigger sense of questions, considering we don't have a starting quarterback named just yet, a number two receiver, a brand-new starting tight end, then an injury-plagued offensive line. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but that's been their story. Yet I feel like more people talk about the defensive side, so... Hour one just underway. Jordan, Maddie, Gus with you here in Metairie. Buddy is taking your phone calls, 800-998-1003 in LaRose. Call in, open segment. We'll do our lead as well. It has to do with the Pels. One more Cam Jordan bite. Then bottom of the hour, Andrew Lopez from ESPN. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Open up your door.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation presents the 15th annual Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival, happening every Friday and Saturday, beginning July 9th through the 31st. Louisiana's most beloved Cajun and Zydeco performers will take the stage at the George and Joyce Wynn Jazz and Heritage Center. Chubby Cartier, Beau Soleil avec Michael Doucet, the Magnolia Sisters, Corey Ledee, Dwayne Dupsey, and the Zydeco Hellraisers, Sweet Cecilia, and many more. Admission is free to all concerts. Visit www.cajunzydecofest.com.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Can we talk?
Talk sports. Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Questions of the day, Jordan. We're going to get to that here in one quick second. We played one final Cam Jordan bite because the question of the day has to do with today's lead. Here's Cam Jordan, Maddie, on the defense. Ready? Ready? Here it is.
Man, I think I get more excited every time I look at, you know, guys like, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, guys like Demario Davis, Marcus Williams, you know, that's just talking about our defense. I mean, young, not so young, Marcus Davenport heading to his fourth year. Then we go ahead and draft this kid out of Houston who I didn't know anything about, Peyton Turner. But after talking to him, after working with him, I love this dude's work ethic. I love his mindset. And then, of course, you talk about big David Onyemata in the middle. I'm getting excited. And then we haven't even talked about, of course, you know, your AK, your Mike T, the entire threat that is on the offensive line, which Teron Armstead and Big Check is now what he shall be called. But the amount of talent, just being a part of this locker room gets me overly excited.
There you go.
Interesting, again, those same names. Mm-hmm. pointing back again to Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore. I know after, you know, everything that kind of happened with that arrest in Cleveland a couple months ago, everyone was a little kind of worried about anything potentially, you know, pointing towards character. And I think the fact that he's mentioned him twice now, before when talking about leadership, and then just getting, you know, kind of excited and seeing, you know, what they can kind of do, it gives, instills confidence in me that the defense has the right mindset here.
You heard he mentioned Peyton Buckshot Turner.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not letting this go, by the way. The Outlaws. CeeDee Deuce. CeeDee Deuce is not happy, by the way, on Twitter, is he? He's never happy. He always feels like somebody's slighting him. Is that a constant state?
It kind of, but I think that's what kind of fuels his fire.
Oh, I agree. But at the same point, like, it's one day, you know, like the gorgeous day, I love the sun's rays. It's sort of like, you know what?
And then he goes and says we're gaming in 30 minutes. Right. So he just has his moment.
I'm telling you, Jordan, we got to make this work, the Outlaws. I'm telling you, we need a new poster. The Dome Patrol's been a while. Not that it wasn't a bad poster, but it's been a while.
You got to get the players on board first.
Well, so I'm tasking you for it. We got to come up with the Outlaws.
I mean, I can
starters.
Tweet at them.
We got to come up with the Outlaws.
I could DM them.
So, you know what would help come up with the Outlaws, Matty? If they actually played like that on defense. If they actually shut down some teams, a couple of picks here, a sack there or two, you know, all of that would help create the whole sense and notion of the Outlaws, right?
Well, I think, frankly, this defense really needs to come out with a strong start in order for this season to really get off on the right foot. Because you think back to the last couple of seasons, last year, you know, they looked strong and complete against the Buccaneers, and then they played the Packers, who they're, you know, going to face them in week one. All of a sudden, you know, the zone defense was starting to break down.
Maddie, something tells me like you were paying attention to the Packers and Saints recently. What'd you put out yesterday?
We were starting an opponent preview series on Saints Wire. So we started out with the least predictable opponent of all of them.
Did you draw straws? Did you choose that
one? No, we were given them.
Oh, okay.
But
you love that one though, right?
Yeah, I love conundrums. What do you mean?
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
I like it. Well, we haven't exactly gotten the announcement.
Official.
We're getting closer, Jordan. We're getting closer. Yesterday evening, Adrian Wojnarowski, may have heard of him. Woj bombs, things of that nature.
Shame Serena.
Well, that's this morning, or was it this morning?
It was this morning.
Okay, so I'd say.
Well, last night and this morning.
Woj last night said, Suns assistant progressing toward deal, making him the next head coach of your New Orleans Pelicans. Of course, we're talking about Willie Green. Again, we had Fletcher Mackel on last week, said he was hearing a lot of it. Since then, Jordan, we've played different sound bites. We've found an interview from the beginning of training camp that I think kind of maybe lets you know a little bit who he was. Mm-hmm. I was sold a little bit on that already, Maddie. I know it's kind of seems silly, but look, here's the thing. 12-year NBA veteran. He's been assistant for the Suns for the past two seasons. Spent the previous three seasons with the Golden State Warriors. If Phoenix wins two more games, he would have won three NBA championships since becoming assistant in 2016. Here's the other thing. He's played in New Orleans. Now, it was a season, 2010-2011. I get that. There were still the Hornets. But he's been here. And he kind of saw around that time, you know, what it can be like. And the city, and understanding the city and having been here and lived with it, I think does matter and help. He's 39. Green would become the third youngest coach in the NBA behind the Thunder's Mark, Dagnault. I think that's it, 35, and Memphis's Taylor Jenkins, who's 36. He made the playoffs seven of his 12 seasons as a player, including the lone year in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So we've referenced this before. You've heard the graph say it. I've said it, and people that were here that remember it. It was fun. I remember, you know, when those seasons took place and all this, well, New Orleans will never be a basketball. Yes, they will. Winning matters. I remember clearly not being able to give away Saints tickets. Now, remember, clearly in the Drew Brees-Peyton era, when the Saints were 7-9 those three seasons, and in one particular game, the Panthers were waxing the Saints, in the third quarter, the dome started to empty. So I don't want to hear that, you know, you have this diehard. Yes, there's a deeper root for football. You've had a team for over 50 years here, so I get it. But winning will solve and get a lot of those different things. Matty, I said late last week, and I said it even yesterday, is it kind of seems it's going in that direction. The fact that only two teams remain, the Wizards and the Pelicans, that have not hired a head coach. I said it just makes sense to me. I like the fact that Chris Paul, after game one, mentioned something that Willie Green had told him. I like the fact that you have Fred Vinson, Teresa Witherspoon. I know you like her as well. Already on staff, players like her. Get a maybe veteran associate head coach. I know I keep saying, you know, Brown, who coached Nigeria to a win over the USA, but he's the associate head coach in Golden State. Do you want to leave Golden State? You might have to pay him. But my point is, find maybe a former head coach to sit next to him on the bench and let Willie do what I think he is going to be hired to do. Communicate and talk about playing as a player and translating that. It looks like that's where we're going.
Yeah, and I think not just like playing as you know, a player, but I really liked a quote where I saw where he said, you know, I've been a starter. I've also come off the bench, and there's also been times where I haven't come off the bench, and that he's, you know, able to kind of relate to all of those different threads. You know, I think a lot of people can relate to that as well, myself being one of them. You know, when I played sports, there were years where I didn't see the playing field, and then there were years where I was the team leader. And so being able to kind of watch the game unfold, see what you were kind of missing, and take those traits and move forward. There's been mention that he connects very well with younger players, that he is someone that people listen to and are going to rally behind. Like you said, he's someone that will come up to Chris Paul, mention that he's not playing aggressive enough, and Chris Paul listens to him and corrects that and then credits him with that afterwards. Players are buying into what he's saying. Pretty much all of the positives that we kind of brought up with Teresa Witherspoon, I think, exist as well with Willie Green. I think that there are a lot of positives here. And like you said, they really need someone that wants to come to New Orleans and embrace this city. And seeing as he was a former player here, it's pretty easy to kind of see that through. And then there is that small conspiracy of Chris Paul.
I mean, stop. Don't. I mean, I would love that. But again, I know his banana boat buddy wants him over in L.A. There's, you know, Jordan's convinced it's New York. It's, and then there's that thing about $44 million. But again, it would be worth every penny if that
happens.
I don't know. But look, you bring up a lot of those interesting points, too. I think there's something else, Jordan, too, as we get to that second point of bit of news that Shams brought up this morning. And that's this, Maddie. This is his first opportunity as a head coach. There's going to be that eagerness, that willingness to, you know, prove and that hunger to try to do well and learn and all that. And I think it may not be a bad thing with a young team that I think also needs to do that, you know, to do that. And I don't know. I know. I like it. Like I said, I don't know what it is about it, but listening to that sound, we can play it again if you want later in the show. I just think it's the right fit for lack of a better phrase. Shams this morning touched on that, as he's now saying that they're working towards a deal. Looks like it's imminent. They're off today. They play tomorrow. Jordan, the other bit of news, though, is very interesting.
Yeah, so per Shams Serena, New Orleans is unlikely to match a significant offer sheet on Lonzo Ball. The Bulls and Clippers are expected to show interest. Had a few questions. What is an offer sheet? Well, the true definition is when a restricted free agent wants to sign with another team, he and the new team signed an offer sheet, the term of that deal, which must be at least for two seasons, or given to the player's original team, which has 2 days to match. So it's almost like the situation with Eric Gordon when they had to match the offer that the Phoenix Suns were giving Eric Gordon, and they did.
So the Bulls and Clippers, the two teams. Now, we're going to have Andrew on in a minute, and that's why we're doing this as well. We're going to start with what we've thought from the very beginning. Actually, give me 10 seconds. This is the reason everyone said go ahead and trade him during the trade deadline.
Yeah.
This is not a personal thing. I've said this already. I think he's going to be a good player on a team that has scoring, that doesn't need even be a scorer. The scoring is second or it's optional. I don't know if it fits on this team. So I'm not surprised. I'm okay with it. The problem is you didn't get anything for it if that happens. I know what you're thinking right now. But what about a sign-in trade? There's a problem with a sign-in trade that the Clippers would run into if they're one of the teams. Shamit Dua has been tweeting excellently about it. We'll discuss it further when we bring in Andrew Lopez as to why sign-in trades are maybe harder than you think when a player like this may be trying to join a team that has a lot of money tied up already. It's a sports hangover. Don't go anywhere. On your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
Sometimes watching a flawless serve can make you realize,
wait a minute, I think I might love tennis.
So you get 2% cash back on rackets, 2% cash back on shoes, 2% cash back on gear, tennis balls, lessons. And before you know it, you've got a decent backhand.
I do have a decent backhand.
Get unlimited 2% cash back on purchases and be ready for your next passion with the new Wells Fargo Active Cash Visa Card. Terms apply. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. All rights reserved.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Sports Hangover, Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak, Jordan Kleber, Andrew Lopez's BFF, underscore Andrew underscore Lopez, the way to follow Andrew. Andrew, I'm waiting. I know you have a beautiful backdrop photo there of the sun setting. Maybe one day you and Jordan, huh? Little arm in arm, just kind of.
I don't know where that text message came out from. I was like, hey, can
you
come
on the
show
today? Oh, the love between
you
guys are amazing. I think people need to see Andrew, you and Jordan just hugging it out, just smiling. I really would like that photo.
I could feel it in the air.
For a day.
I don't think so.
No. Okay, what about if the Pelicans win the finals? If the Pelicans win the finals, will you change your Twitter backdrop photo to you and Jordan?
Sure.
Here it is. You heard it here.
He knows it's probably never going to happen.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
I am good, man. I'm a lot better than when I sent that original text message this morning to Jordan. I'm pretty sure we can't say on air.
Probably not.
No.
But I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic.
You know what? You know, I like this. I don't like waiting 2 days in between games when they're in the same place, but I'm looking forward to the finals, even though all three games have been double-digit wins, which is kind of interesting. We'll get to that in a quick second, your thoughts, but look, there's like legit news to talk about here. So let's touch on this. Woj, I know you've been working closely with him here as well on a lot of different things, including Van Gundy and stuff, but okay, it kind of seemed like we were going this direction. Now, we have the heavy hitters saying, look, they're working towards a deal. Willie Green, you and I touched on him before. We've talked about it now. It seems like, at least per Instagram, there's a lot of people out in Phoenix that are members of the Pelicans team that are hanging out with Brandon Ingram. I don't know if they're hanging out over there or if they're working out with Brandon, which is a good thing, but it just kind of seems like Willie Green likely will be your next head coach. Why did he move up the ranks, or why is he a guy that a lot of people really are high on?
Yeah, and to be clear, they're negotiating that deal right now. I would expect it to be done, you know, relatively soon, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. But he is the guy that they are locked in on, right? And progressing toward the deal with, as they're trying to do right now. But he moved up the board because of his ability, to develop relationships with players, both during his playing career and, as an assistant coach. He's been in he started as soon as he got out of the NBA, started with the Golden State Warriors as a player development guy, became an assistant coach with them, won two titles, then went to Phoenix, has been with Monty the last 2 years. He played for Monty in New Orleans. I think it's kind of funny that he played, his one season in New Orleans when they went to the playoffs. It was Monty Williams as coach and Chris Paul was the point guard. And now, the Pelicans are about to try and hire him away from a Monty Williams led team who has Chris Paul as a point guard right now. So, Chris Paul has made kind of some comments before about how, how much he loves Willie Green. And I think that is a big factor right now in all of this.
Speak with Andrew Lopez, covers the Pelicans for ESPN and the NBA. So look, you talk about relationships and things of that nature, the importance of it. I was bringing up as well, and we were talking about it with Maddie in the first segment. Look, you have Fred Vinson, you have Teresa Witherspoon, two coaches already on staff that have that respect of players. You know, this makes sense. You maybe go get a veteran or ex-NBA head coach. I know some people have mentioned Mike Brown. I'd love that too, but he's the associate head coach at the Warriors, and I know he led Nigeria to win over Team USA. But what about that element of maybe adding a little experience, the seat next to him, to sort of help him in some of that coaching aspect?
I feel very confident in saying there will likely be a former NBA head coach on this coaching staff moving forward. I don't know if I'm confident in saying the name of the guy who I think it is, mm-hmm. but maybe that'll come out by the end of the day as well. But they are going to try and get some experience. It wouldn't even surprise me if they had maybe two guys, depending on how this kind of shakes out. But there will be some experience on that bench to go along with. Obviously, you're going to look to keep Fred Benson. You're going to look to keep Teaspoon. Couple other guys, the player development guys are going to try to probably stick around, but who Willie gets to bring in, who maybe they try and have already talking to, there will be some experience to help Willie out. Obviously, Willie's strength here is his
right.
Ability to develop his relationship with players, maybe not the X's and O's. Not to say he's not a great X and O's guy, and obviously if you get to this point, you know that side of the game, but that may be where I think they're gonna try to find him a little bit of help, and maybe he's got some guys already in mind.
Andrew, I just want to get your opinion on this. I know there's a lot of Pelicans fans out there. It's like, why bring in a guy if we're in this dire of a situation? David Griffin kind of on the hot seat if this one doesn't work out. It's just kind of going into the direction, well, if it doesn't work out, then it's his first year as the head coach. What is your thoughts on like giving him enough time to kind of just like fill out his roster and do what he has to do, his first year as a new NBA head coach?
Well, we've seen that, obviously this year, obviously Stan Van Gundy got one right. season and you were quick to make a move. Nate Bjorkman in Indiana was a first year head coach, but did not connect with players up there, was removed from his job with the Pacers. Things are moving a little bit quicker in the NBA. Nowadays, you would ideally like to have more time, but you're going to hope that Willie Green is the guy that can lift you there quicker rather than later. I still think this team is going to, this team is going to have playoff aspirations next year. This isn't going to be a situation where they're trying to, we got young coach, young guys. If we don't make it, it's fine. Like, no, they're trying to make moves. And having someone like Willie, you're hoping he's the guy that's going to be able to lift you, to that next level, even if he is just a first-year head coach.
Dane Moore, NBA, covers the T-Wolves, just tweeted an hour ago, Andrew, one name to watch as a lead assistant for Willie Green's staff in New Orleans, sources say, is former T-Wolves interim head coach Sam Mitchell. Mitchell has a strong reputation of being able to connect with young players and would bring head coaching experience as well. So kind of what you're touching on there about maybe one, maybe even two, but having that experience. But Maddie, again, connecting, communicating, it seems to be a very big thing. You got something for Andrew?
Yeah, you know, the seems like kind of the point of contention with Stan Van Gundy was that he seemed to kind of hyper-focus on the X and O's and sort of ignore what was going on in the locker room. And we brought up, you know, the 14 games on this show quite a bit where it seemed to me kind of if there was a little bit of just like discipline and want and hating to lose more than wanting to win by those players. To me, it seems like the X and O's aren't necessarily not there. It's just that the players didn't so much care to use them. And to me, you know, Green got a lot of experience with a lot of different personality types, especially on Golden State. Kind of has like the Draymond Green personality of the kind of more outspoken, but then kind of the more quiet guys like Kevin Durant, who kind of reminds me in a way of Brandon Ingram's quieter style of leadership. So do you think his ability to kind of connect, you know, with all of those different personality types also comes from his, you know, time as a player as well and is paramount here?
Yeah, you mentioned his ability to connect with players. I mean, this was a guy who, you know, when he was a rookie in Philly, was dealing with Allen Iverson. I mean, he's seen it all, both from as a player and as an assistant coach. Obviously, he's seen Chris Paul as a player on both sides of that. He's been on Chris Paul's team when his teammates as a point guard, and now the same thing when he's coaching Chris Paul. So he has that level of respect from players, and I think even he's mentioned before. I don't remember in what interviews he's done it. And he's done a couple, so forgive me for getting this wrong. But where he said, look, I've been a starter. I've been a bench player. I've been somebody who doesn't get minutes. I've seen it all as a player. Yeah. I think that helps him as he gets into these ranks. We've seen that for years where maybe your top guys aren't always going to be the best sort of head coaches. You know, Kobe talked about that, you know, when after he retired, people were like, well, you know, what do you think he's going to get into a coach? And he didn't think he was – like, he wasn't going to see the same sort of work ethic in players, so it doesn't going to work. But when you've been a guy who has seen a number of different things and been in a number of different situations, that helps. And to the communication issue, that is a huge point, huge, huge point of what they're trying to do, where he can kind of bring that part out of what he's seen. You go back to another hire that, and I don't want to try to equate the two, but When Griff was in Cleveland and they fired David Blatt after an NBA Finals appearance in the middle of the season when they had the best record, he brought in Ty Lue.
Yeah.
And Ty Lue was known for his relationships. Obviously, Ty Lue is an excellent, excellent X and O's guy right now. So I don't want to say it's going to be the same situation, but he knows how much player relationships mean. And I think with the Stan Van Gundy situation, the pandemic complicated things, and right. Then Stan's old school ways kind of maybe complicated things, and they just weren't on the same page. And I think what you'll see now is that's going to be much more of a focus now that Willie Green's on, you know, should be the next head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Final question for you, sir. It has to do with what else was reported today in different reports about, you know, and I don't know if it's really that much news, but that the Pelicans would be maybe unlikely to offer a high or match a high offer sheet for Lonzo Ball. And I promised our listeners to kind of explain something, if you can. You got about 3 to 4 minutes, Andrew. A lot of people look at this situation and say, okay, fine, if you don't want to keep him or pay him X amount, sign and trade him. Schmidt's done a good job this morning at kind of tweeting why sign-in trades for certain teams maybe don't work, like the Clippers, one of the teams that's mentioned, because of their cap. Explain that in layman's terms. Let's say Jordan. Explain it to Jordan. How would Jordan understand why is sign-in trade maybe more difficult than a lot of people think it is?
So if for some places that have – so let's start with this. If let's say you're the Knicks, right? Let's just say you're the Knicks. You can go outright and sign – Alonzo Ball, no matter what. You have the cap space to do so. You can get that done no matter what. The problem is not a lot of teams have that right now. Not a lot of teams have just outright cap space because of the lowering cap, because of the pandemic. So what you're looking at is a sign and trade option would be able to get a Lonzo to more teams. They mentioned Chicago, you know, and we've talked obviously, I think, about, you know, signing a deal with Lauri Markkanen during the season. Maybe that's just now Thomas Sadoransky in a pick. If you look at it from a Clippers standpoint, they're at the tax. They're at the apron. They have $145 million or so in guaranteed contracts. The apron's mm-hmm. going to be $143. If you do a sign and trade at that point, you are done. You can't make any other moves. So they wouldn't be able to fill out their roster. So if the Clippers were to make this move, and even if it's a sign and trade for, say, Luke Kennard, who I think we've talked about him before. He signed, a lot of people are like, oh my God, he signed a 4-year, $64 million extension. It's really a 3-year, $40-something million extension because there's no guarantees on the final year. But let's just lose Luke Kennard. They would still have to trade away, I think, about 18 to 20 million to get under that number so they can then be able to make those kind of moves. So the Clippers would be, they would be interested, but they would have to do some other things to free up some money. The thing about a sign and trade here is it would help get him to a team that already doesn't have cap space. Now, some teams won't be hard cap. Some teams it'll be easier to do. But they're, you know, Clutch, I think, is also trying to work that a little bit. The Pels, and we've talked about this on the show before, there is a number that I think the Pels will not go over no matter what.
Right.
And that's basically what was reported this morning. I think we've talked about that before.
Yep.
There's going to be a certain number there, but they will be more than willing to try and help facilitate a sign and trade.
Let's see if that happens. Things are moving along, and at least we're actually talking about some news or something like that. Give me 30 seconds, Andrew, before we get out of here. Tomorrow night, Suns or Bucks, man? Do we go back to Phoenix 2-2?
I do. I think so.
Wow.
I still like the Bucks in this series. I think Giannis is just a different beast right now, and the healthier he gets, man, it's going to be interesting to see, especially if he continues to attack the paint and get to the free throw line. You know, counting or not, I think he's going to put the pressure on Phoenix in the right way.
Right. Andrew Lopez, as always, man, appreciate it. I will be refreshing your Twitter timeline to find out the latest. But as you said, start of the interview, you expect a deal with Willie Green to be done sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Lopez. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem, guys.
There he goes, Andrew Lopez.
Love you, Andrew.
Wow. I saw you slip that in there, huh? Oh, so sweet.
He never said anything.
I just hung up on you. Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, your friend Roland T. Kajan Jeremy here. Come to Golden Motors for your next new Chevy or Buick vehicle, or that nearly new pre-owned vehicle of any make or model. You won't be disappointed. Golden Motors been servicing the Lafourche, Terrebonne, and surrounding parishes for over 65 years. A small drive to save you money and get a wonderful buying experience. Buy from Golden Motors. They treat you like family. It's worth your time to give us a call or look us up at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority, 985-325-1000.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
you.
Every pro on your team wants to work with a Husqvarna, and who can blame them? Husqvarna products are powerful, ergonomic, and packed with innovation. Now we're making it easier than ever to put Husqvarna in their hands with our cost-saving fleet program, where commercial customers can save up to 20% on new equipment purchases. If you want more Husqvarna in their hands and more money in your pocket, get all your new equipment through the Husqvarna fleet program. Visit Southern Trailer Works in Schriever, between Home and Thibodeau, or online at SouthernTrailerWorks.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
They're negotiating. That's kind of what we got from that. And again, Dane Moore, who covers the T-Wolves, says Sam Mitchell was the interim head coach over there and has a lot of experience. And again, Schmidt's all over this, man. Tweeted 44 minutes ago, at Fear the Brown. Mm-hmm. He looked it up on NBA TV. It was an interview after Zion's debut against the Spurs. Remember that one, Jordan? You said it was one of the greatest things you've been around.
Yes, that was fourth quarter. One of the greatest basketball games I've ever been to.
This is him. This is the in-studio chat. This is him talking about, again, right now, reportedly, this could be Willie Green's lead assistant on the staff, known for communicating. Here's an interesting thing that Schmidt found, though. He's coached him. Zion. This guy. And hear what Coach Mitchell said about Zion after that debut. There we go. Hold on. I messed that up. There we go. Don't you boo me. Don't you boo me.
Then we give him credit for it. Three of the most young players, when they come into the league, they struggle on the offensive end when they don't have the basketball.
Right.
They're used to having the basketball in their hand in college, right?
Right.
Because they are the guy.
Right.
This kid doesn't need the basketball. Think about something. He averaged 23 points a game at Duke on, 12, 13 shots a game?
That's it.
Now, think about that. So he is very efficient, and he's used to doing other things when he don't have the basketball, and that's the beauty of him. The New Orleans Pelicans not going to have to reinvent how they play when Zion Williams steps out there.
Nope.
Because he's going to do this. He's going to pass. He's going to facilitate. He's going to make hard cuts. He's going to set screens. He's going to roll hard to the front of the basket. He's going to do all the little things that are big things, but then this is the thing that he can do that's really big. When the ball goes to his hand, it's a whole nother level, because when he puts it on the floor,
mm-hmm.
watch the entire defense. Look, the Denver Nuggets have no idea what they're about to see right now, because they only have 19 minutes of tape.
Right.
And in preseason on Zion Williams.
Right.
Until you have played against him and witnessed this and feel his pain that he's
mm-hmm.
going to bring,
mm-hmm.
you have no idea what you're in for, because you can't prepare for something you haven't seen before just by watching it on tape.
Yeah.
Just haven't seen it.
One of the things that Zion said in that interview is that he was trying to find his way, and when he made that pass in the fourth quarter, he found his
pass.
Spot. It was a pass, because
rebound and pass, he said.
Yep.
You told me that 2 years ago, saying that, look, his best ability is being able to distribute.
I played him at point forward with a bunch of other high school All-Americans and point guards who are All-Americans that's playing at Kentucky, Duke, Carroll. These are type players. And I put him at the point forward position. Why? Because he can see over everybody. He can control the defender guarding him, and he's so willing to do this. Mm-hmm. And when he goes to the basket, he already knows the defense is going to collapse. And he has such good body control. He can jump up in the air and abort the charge and contact and still make the play. So the beauty of him is he can get you 30 in a very efficient way, but he don't mind getting you 10, 12 assists in an efficient way.
So that's Sam Mitchell. That was over a year ago. Mm-hmm. That was after Zion's debut against the Spurs. If I'm a Pels fan, and again, I'm just hearing that for the first time too, credit Schmidt for finding that and putting it out there. Dane Moore covers the T-Wolves reporting. Likely that's where now it makes sense. Again, I need a plan. Whether it works or not, that's fine, but at least there's a plan. And I'm seeing the sense here. We just talked about communicating. That's why you're bringing in Willie Green. And now you're giving him that experience. And on top of that experience of Sam Mitchell being an interim head coach and being an assistant in the NBA, he's an analyst here as well. But the fact that he actually coached Zion, even if it was an all-star game, but already saw the vision of how to use him, who's the most important player on this roster? Zion. again, now you see why that name all of a sudden's popped up. What are you smirking about?
We've had this same kind of. It's almost like deja vu in a sense. So David Griffin, NBA TV, Stan Van Gundy, NBA TV, Sam Mitchell now NBA TV. And if you remember Stan Van Gundy, he talked during one of the games. This would be his vision for Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. He had a plan for him.
Right. So you're going the route of I've seen this movie before.
I've seen this movie before. Okay. I'd like to see it take into action on the court,
right?
Before I start going all
so you're not
going to
get all, okay. So you're not going to get excited about credentials or sound bites or interviews because we've heard this before. Got you
from a head coach.
That's fair to an extent because that's what's been given to you.
Yeah.
Well, what stuck out to me is that, you know, first and foremost, he talked about like Zion as more of a facilitator and his passing ability, and that's really not something we saw utilized at all this last season. There really seemed to be no fluidity in the passing game. It was, and I mean, Zion's great in the paint, don't get me wrong, but to kind of hear that that was like a vision that someone had seen for him and then to really not see that at all. I brought up Draymond Green before, but I really think, especially with Willie Green's experience working with someone like that, I know that, you know, Draymond plays a different position and it kind of has a different role on that offense, but at the same time, Zion Williamson isn't Steph Curry. And I think that if he could kind of tap into that facilitator role, someone that can see over basically the entire field, it kind of seems like this almost like untapped potential of Zion that we really haven't seen be used. And Jordan brings up a good point that yes, we've heard this song over and over again, but when I hear something like that, that seems so in stark contrast from the way that he was utilized this year, and then trying to think again of Willie Green's experience with those types of players that come to mind in comparison, mm-hmm. it makes me want to buy into this.
It's one of the things I've also been bringing up too, in that it's great to say, let's build a team around him. And I say, we got to start the genesis of it, the foundation. How are we using him? What is your vision for him? Is he going to be a primary ball handler? That changes how you construct the team. I don't know if it makes or makes or diminishes or makes more important a point guard. If he's going to be a primary ball handler, is he going to be a situational ball handler like LeBron is, Jordan, right? I mean, you know, Schroeder brings the ball up most of the time. When the stuff hits the fan, there's a run, the game is on the line, LeBron brings the ball. I think that makes more sense to how you go that route.
But you also have to think LeBron's kind of in his twilight years and a little injury riddled.
I agree, but that's the thing, right? Because again, here's Sam Mitchell going, man, you put the ball in his hand, the defense of that. Van Gundy said the same thing. It's like, look, you heard opposing coaches this year say mm-hmm. it puts a lot of pressure on it. Matty, as you know, in covering football as we do, especially with the Saints or, you know, the Rams, even Martz back in the day too. The new coach with the Rams here as well as this with Sean McVay. Give teams time. Professional franchises and teams and will adapt and find ways to stop or things of that nature. So
who did they give time to on the Rams?
Well, what I'm saying is, I mean, Martz had the greatest show on turf for a bit, and then people figured out how to stop it on defense. Same thing like with the Saints. Teams adjusted how to do that. I think what you're seeing, what I'll be interested to see rather, is how will teams adjust to, oh, Zion's got the ball. Great. Boom. So we saw the Spurs put three across the charity stripe, right? Elbow, nail, elbow. Three bigs to try to keep them from driving. How will teams prepare for that this year and how to adjust?
I think they already prepared for it. You just hack the absolute bleep out of them.
Oh, well, okay.
And you won't get the foul call.
But there's an adjustment to that. I mean, How does he adjust?
I also think we talk all about this vision, like for Zion, but you like kind of bring up that point is just it keep putting kind of people. It's kind of like Michael Thomas when there was no really reliable receiver two on the Saints, they would just put three people on him and then the offense kind of dissipated. So as much as, you know, Zion's vision is important, I think it's just as important for the vision of the rest of the team. Because teams are going to know that, you know, everyone already knows this. That you tried to plan for it, but there is also kind of that wear and tear of having him be the person that has to drive through defenders over and over and over again. And you have to think about kind of longevity with Zion as well. So I think that they also have to kind of find that number two person on the court to kind of take that pressure off and be a, you know, believable number two threat.
Yeah.
otherwise, it's just, again, we know that Zion can drive through three of them, but Zion then could get injured, and then what?
Which is why I keep saying, start all of this as we wrap up our number one. Simple. Build a good basketball team. Build a good basketball team. Depth. I need players that do
There's an eye in Zion, but not an eye in team.